the world's most exciting podcast, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. Here he is, Michael Savage.
We are so lucky today to have Carrie Lake on the Michael Savage podcast. This is a woman who has set the Republican Party ablaze, both with her passion and with her intelligence. I spoke with her in an interview that I know you're going to share with everyone that you know. I want you to listen to it. I want you to share it with others. But more importantly, what you need to do is understand that it's women like Carrie Lake who can save America. The book is entitled, Can America Be Saved? And as I say in the interview, it's the women who will save America. The fact of the matter is, she's amazing. And everyone knows who she is. She's a conservative firebrand. Her gubernatorial campaign inspired and captivated the nation. She talks about how a near-fatal airline crash changed the direction of her life. I never knew about that. Did you know that Carrie is a former news anchor? She reveals the corruption in the media. That's not new to any of us. But you'll learn things that you didn't know. How she once took a trip with Cindy McCain to Cambodia. How both Carrie Lake and Michael Savage both admired Barry Goldwater, the original MAGA candidate. You need to listen to how she was canceled and what we must all do to save America and why she was labeled the most dangerous politician in America. Listen and enjoy, and do me a favor, share it with a few people. Thanks for listening.
Michael Savage, a host like no other.
Middle East on the brink, North Korea on the brink, Iran increasing its aggression, elections in Taiwan. Look, there's a lot of global instability as we ourselves plunge into primary season. How have you sheltered your savings and investments from potential major setbacks to the economy? You think it can happen here? It can happen here, but it's not too late to diversify an old IRA or 401k into gold. And Birch Gold Group can help you with that. Birch Gold is the only gold company I trust. As opposed to many other investments, gold thrives in times of uncertainty. It is an important part of diversifying your savings. Now listen, here's how Birch Gold can help make it a part of yours. Birch Gold will help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. And it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. You want to learn more? Just text SAVAGE to 989898 for a free info kit. SAVAGE, text it to 989898 and you get a free info kit. It costs you nothing. Just text SAVAGE to 989898. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, and thousands of happy customers, I encourage you to arm yourself with the knowledge of diversification through precious metals. Protect yourself. Text SAVAGE to 989898 and claim your free info kit. Protect your savings with gold. Do it now. Text SAVAGE to 989898. Thank you very much. Birch Gold is the only gold company I trust. Text SAVAGE to 989898. Hi there. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Unless we have an entire movement of mothers and fathers, we're not going to save this nation, Carrie. I want to thank you again. You've been a hero of mine for a very long time.
Wow. I'm blown away, Michael. I've got the chills right now, okay? You can't see them, but they're here.
It's nice to hear. I can still give someone the chills.
I've been an admirer of yours as well. So to hear you say that, I appreciate you for saying that and for taking the time to interview me.
Let's talk about Carrie Lake, my favorite personality in the history of politics.
You're lying to me. Come on.
No, I saved that for my wife. I'm joking.
Wow. Okay. Just let me just like absorb that. That's huge.
So your book is Unafraid Just Getting Started, which is amazing because the prologue is called Crash Landing. And you talk about a doom flight you were on in the early months of your campaign. What kind of airplane were you on? What was that about?
Well, I've got a picture of it. I have a picture of it right here. I decided to put photographs in because I always like to see the photos of the stories I'm reading about. And I showed this frozen over small, I guess it was a single engine. I don't know. Maybe it was a twin engine.
Oh.
And we were just desperate to get to a big speaking event that I had about midway, a little further than midway through my campaign. And we didn't have any billionaires funding us. We were funded by the people. We missed a flight because of just some major travel problems in a storm that was affecting flights all around the country. And we ended up finding a solution, which was getting on a small plane and flying across the country. Turns out the rainstorm in Phoenix that we took off in around midnight, when we got up about 9,000-10,000 feet, turned into an ice storm.
Oh boy.
And our plane iced over. It turned into a flying icicle.
You didn't have any de-icing equipment on the plane?
No. Had no idea it was even an ice storm. We kind of left it to the pilots. That we really should have never taken off in that, obviously.
Oh boy.
But Michael, I talk about it because there's no reason we should have survived that. Everybody who's a friend of mine who's a pilot said, "Oh my gosh, how did you guys make it to the, you should have fallen out of the sky." And we made a, I call it crash landing. We made a safe, any landing you walk away from is a good landing, right?
Oh yeah.
But it was an emergency landing that could have easily been a crash. But it reminded me and it told me, and I knew that God had a plan, that I wasn't done. He wasn't done with me.
I get it.
I was so needed. And it reaffirmed my faith.
So you have you had a second chance at life, which I can relate
yes.
to. And you have a chance, you had a chance at that moment to change the course of your life, which obviously you did. I mean, did you go, your prior job was a TV broadcaster, correct? Before yeah. politics?
Broadcast journalism.
So yeah. you know what that snake pit is like.
I do. And, you know, I talk about in the book, Unafraid, I talk about how I started off as a kid, youngest of nine, rural Iowa. My dad was a history and government coach and a really successful football, history and government teacher and a successful football coach. And mom was
beautiful.
A nurse. We didn't have any money. When I look back, we were really dirt poor, but we didn't know it. Nobody told us that. We just thought it was normal to have to work from a young age. I mean, I started babysitting at 7 years old. This is back in the 70s when people would leave their baby with a 7 year old.
But
you know, that was the 70s. If we wanted toothpaste and shampoo, we had to work for it. So I didn't know any better. And thankfully, I had that Midwestern work ethic, a big family work ethic. And I graduated from high school at 16 and I worked my way through college and paid for my own college.
Well, you and I have so much in common. I grew up in an immigrant family in the Bronx. I was selling comic books on the street at age 5. I've told the story, worked in my father's store. He always said to me, "You've got to work for a living. You'll find out the value of a dollar if you do." I also graduated high school at 16 and went into college very young. It's very interesting that we have.
Well, and we've taken that away from our kids in many ways. I'm not speaking for everyone. There's some great parents out there who say, you know, my kids are going to work and my kids do work. But we worked really hard in childhood. We had to cut wood to heat our home. I mean, it sounds like I grew up in the old fashioned days.
We didn't cut wood in the Bronx.
My dad just was, that's how he raised us. And I'm so happy about that because everything that came before me running for office prepared me for running for office. It's a grueling snake pit swamp. And that difficult childhood, that incredible will, nobody can outwork me. I used to say about my rhino opponent in the primary, she may have married a 95-year-old billionaire, but she cannot outwork me. There's no, if I even get a sense that you're starting to outwork me, I'll just work harder.
But Carrie, why? Okay, here's the thing. You know, they say money is the mother's milk of politics. We've heard that for 30, 40 years now. That means that if a person has enough money to buy enough ads, they can literally win any campaign. Is that really what they're saying?
I think they are, but I don't agree with it because we didn't have we were outspent 20 or 30 to 1 opponent with attack ads. People aren't watching TV the way they used to. So those ads, you know, you had to buy a lot more of them. And I had the beautiful, I worked toward getting a job in broadcast journalism because I love to tell people stories. I love to tell, I love like knowing what's going on and talking about it. And so I had a 27-year career in Arizona where people knew me. They invited me into their home for 3 hours a day. And I had an opponent spending her billionaire husband's money going on TV saying all these horrible things about me. And the wonderful people of Arizona were just laughing, going, "Wait a minute. We know she's not what you're saying because we had her in our home. She's our friend. We had her in our home for 30 years. And so it really it fell on deaf ears because the people of Arizona weren't going to hear it, weren't going to listen to it. And I'm just so thankful to them. But I hate what happened with our election where they sabotaged Election Day.
Well, I hear that. And you weren't alone, but you're still fighting. And we'll get, we could do it right now. And the question really is, Has anything changed? I mean, what's going to happen during the next election? Can we ever have a fair election in this country again?
I'm going to keep fighting for that. I'll tell you this. When they stole the election, they stole our victory. I had Republicans who I respected say, just walk away, concede. First of all, I'll never concede something that was stolen. But I would be the most gracious loser if I really did lose. Don't get me wrong. My dad was a football coach. He taught us if you lose, you shake the other guy's hand and you walk away, and you walk away with your head high that you fought a good fight. But we didn't lose. We won, and I'm going to fight that. And the people of this country started to tell me, you've got to fight this. We started Save Arizona Fund, and they donated to help us fight it. It's my duty as an American citizen to call out corruption in this country, to call out corruption.
Was that why they called you the most dangerous politician in America, because you tell the truth?
Yeah, I think so. When I saw that headline, it was towards the end of the campaign, and I woke up one morning and I was looking through kind of the press clippings that my wonderful team sent me, and I'm drinking coffee, and I saw that and I thought, well, this must be an article about Trump.
Oh, God.
And they're probably mentioning me in it. So I scroll up and it's a picture of me, and I'm apparently the most dangerous politician in the country, because they thought they got rid of Trump, and here they have Trump in heels. And they went, oh, no.
No, we love you, Carrie. I watch you in action. I like that you get in the face of people. You're our only hope, in a way. Everyone's so milquetoast and so afraid of the left. You represent truth, and you represent the America First movement, which sounds dangerous to those who don't even know what it is. But I've been a champion of borders, language, culture since I began a radio in 1994. We're talking about America, American values, family values, God, faith, and country. That's all we're talking about, aren't we?
Yeah. And the news, remember the news, the press, and for those out there who might be Democrats or listening to the news still, just remember, it's all of the news stations are pretty much owned by five corporations. I ask this of the people on the left. I don't know if they're listening to you, Michael, but I'm asking anyway. Do you think that these corporate giants really care about your life? I don't. I think they're pushing an agenda, and their agenda is globalism, because that's what the corporate world wants.
Explain what that really means. The average person hears the word globalism. I know what you mean. To me, it's a battle for the survival of America as an identifiable entity, as a nation, as a clearly defined nation, as opposed to a nation rolled into the New World Order. Is that globalism?
Yeah, that's globalism. And it's all the power resides at the top. We are just serfs. We are subjects. Oh. And that's why they've been attacking the middle class. It used to be the Democrats cared about the middle class. The JFK Democrats did, not anymore.
Yeah.
The Democrats are pushing Marxism and globalism. Yeah. And the reason I even brought that up is because America First means obviously putting our country first. But the left and the media have to say we're extremists and far right. The only thing extreme is that we're extremely worried about our country and our families. Amen. But what's extreme to me, Michael, is the left and the uniparty and the swamps policies, which are open border. I find it extreme to have the cartels running our border. Oh, I have it extreme to see millions of people pouring across, some of them terrorists and criminals. I find it extreme to allow the most deadly drug we've ever seen, fentanyl, pour into our country and kill our young people. I find it extreme that our kids are going to school and not being taught real skills to get by in this world. I'm hoping that Democrats find that extreme as well.
I doubt that they will. I think they're so, Carrie, they're so brainwashed and so locked into their agenda. Look, the recent ruling against so-called affirmative action, which is affirmative racism, is a huge, huge stabilizing force for the nation. But I think you and I both know that the American left is so entrenched in their power structure, they're going to get around the affirmative racism anyway. I mean, they're supposed to now not use race in hiring police, firemen, teachers, you name it. But they're going to get around it somehow. We're going to still have to fight, aren't we?
Of course, we always have to fight it. And I talk to my friend Donald Trump and I say, how do you do it? I mean, I'm facing what he's facing, but he's got it 20 times worse. And he says, what's our choice? We have to get up and fight. I hope the result is that we start properly educating our kids. How do we don't need affirmative action. we can go back to meritocracy when we, and when that may force us to start properly educating all children rather than sending them off to these government schools where it is a, it's a breeding ground for indoctrination and just, it's horrible. I want the freedom of a good education for every child in this country. And that starts with teaching them about our Constitution and basically giving them the skills they need to survive. You got it with your dad. You said you were selling comic books and working with your dad. We used to teach our sons and daughters how to work, and now we don't. So we need to get better at that. We can't expect schools to do all the work, but we have to stop the system that we have, which is the school of, I'm trying to think of her name, Randy Weingarten. I don't even think she has kids. Does she even have children?
No, I doubt it. Interesting you mention that, because in my life, I've had many different kind of friends, including gay friends. And it seems they were always more knowledgeable in their minds about raising children than those of us who actually had children.
Interesting. In what way?
They always thought they knew more about raising children than those of us with children. I don't know how that works, but there's Randy Weingarten, and I'm not talking about her sexual orientation. I could care less. Her mental orientation is a disaster. You know,
it's a total disaster.
Carrie, I know
although
your time is limited.
Tell you something. We have a lot. I have a lot of conservative gay friends, and I don't even want to say conservative. Common sense. They do not like what's happening. They don't like that the you know, it's become Pride Month. They were kids too at one point. Innocent kids who go off to school. When I was a kid, if my teacher would have talked about her sex life,
no, thrown out.
I would have been so shocked. I mean, I would still remember it to this day. And yet we're pushing that in the faces of our children. It's wrong.
I understand.
I know a lot of very common sense gay people who find it wrong.
They have come for our children. I have said for many years, the years I was on radio, I'm a sexual libertarian. You're an adult. It's consensual. Your business, what you do. Don't care what you do. Not my business. I don't want to be in your bedroom. Don't think I'm a censor, blah, blah, blah. And I said that the dividing line will be when they come for our children. And they crossed that line. They broke down the barriers at our school board meetings, calling parents who are concerned about their children, which has always been what we hope for, concerned parents of America.
Right.
Now they've turned them into domestic terrorists.
The Savage Nation. It's Savage on Demand.
Carrie, here's an interesting thing. I don't want to lose this one from your book. And I have to mention your book again because I want people to go out and buy it. And my listeners listen to me. Go out and buy that book, Unafraid, Just Getting Started, or Carrie wouldn't even be here. She wants you to buy her book, and there's a reason for it. It's not just the monetary reasons. It's because she's got a message in there. And there's so many things in the book that I think I should mention. I was quite surprised that your TV job took you to Cambodia with Cindy McCain. Are you still friendly? Is Cindy still around?
Look, I want to be friendly with all these people, but they really have turned on America. She came out and said some horrible things about me.
Oh.
And obviously we know that they try to act like they're conservatives and they're Republicans. But we have the greatest president and President Trump, and they turn their back, stab him in the back. And she actually endorsed Joe Biden, the worst president in the country. She went to the media and she's, pushed lies about me. I am disappointed in Cindy McCain. She always talked about caring about human smuggling. And then she sat and admitted during an interview that she and John, her husband, Senator McCain, knew about Jeffrey Epstein, knew what he was up to. This is somebody who's involved in human smuggling, the sex trafficking, and did nothing. She said, what could we do? Well, what could you do? You were married to one of the most powerful people in the world. You could have done something if you really gave a damn about sex trafficking. And the fact that she stabbed Trump in the back, the fact that John McCain, as a senator, first of all, he's somehow you can't criticize his political career. I think everybody who runs for politics is open and fair game for criticism. He represented Arizona.
Carrie, so are people in the media. We're all public figures, and we have to take.
Well, I'll tell you what, they attacked me nonstop. I hadn't even had gotten into office, and they were attacking me, and I took it. I didn't whine and complain.
Well, I'm a Goldwater conservative. You're from Arizona. I loved him. I was a young guy, and I'll never forget his great speech. What was it? Extremism in the defense of liberty. is no vice.
The vice. That's right. That's in the book.
I would remind you that extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. And let me remind you also that moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue.
Did you know Gold? Was he alive when you were a kid? I mean, did you know him?
I met him when I became a reporter in Arizona. When I was 24, I came to Arizona as a reporter, and I was sent over to interview Arizona's favorite son, Barry Goldwater. And it was a quick interview. He was starting, his health was starting to falter a bit. And I talk about this in the book, I covered when he passed away. I was up at his home in Paradise Valley covering the loss of a legend in Barry Goldwater. And I remember covering it for the national news. I was doing live shots all day.
You know, I'm glad you knew Goldwater. Again, are there any Goldwaters left?
Yes, his son is around and a wonderful man. And I talk about how Barry Goldwater was really one of the first America First, Make America Great Again guys. And then, of course, we got the wonderful Ronald Reagan, who was my childhood hero. And he's the reason I registered as a Republican when I turned 18. He and I grew up about an hour apart in the Midwest. He was on the Illinois side of the Mississippi and I was on the Iowa side. Obviously, Michael, a few decades apart. But he was the president of my childhood. When I was 10, he was elected.
Isn't that
and we
something?
Needed exactly that. We needed that Midwestern sensibility, that optimism, and that love for country to get us through the dark days after Jimmy Carter.
How are we going to get through Biden, though? This is what I want to know. Carrie, you're on the floor. You see what goes on there. You're there, aren't you? You're out there.
Yeah.
You've seen what goes on.
I'm out with America every day.
Okay. Are you going to run again?
You know, I'm thinking of it, Michael. I people have been asking me that. And I said, my priority is our court case. I still want to fight this. We have the evidence and the truth on our side. And we're just waiting for one judge to do the right thing. I understand it's daunting to be the judge who says, you know what? We're setting aside Maricopa County. Oh. It was corrupt and we can't have this.
You know, but we don't happen. Have that. Carrie, we don't you know that the power courage. Structure is so against that.
But it's right. happened before. In 1916 in Arizona, a fraudulent governor made his way into office. And the duly elected governor fought in the courts. And it took a full year before they yanked that fraud out of office and put the duly elected governor. So I have that hope. I may look at running for Senate. There's going to be a Senate seat that's up for grabs coming up. And I believe that right now we're not being served in Arizona with somebody going to D.C. and serving our
Wouldn't that be
needs.
Great if you ran for the Senate? And we'd have a real conservative senator in Arizona. Arizona used to be, when I was a kid, like, oh, wow, real hardcore, you know,
rock-ribbed
conservatism was Arizona. The hardest nails, you know, tough-skinned guys. What happened to Arizona?
Cowboys and tough girls and gals.
I grew up reading Arizona Highways. As a kid in New York, I used to read Arizona Highways. Remember that magazine?
Did you?
And I used
still
to sit
have it.
Canyons, beautiful people.
Let me tell you, campaigning across Arizona was like driving through that magazine every day. I loved every second of campaigning, 525 days. We worked our tails off. It was the most beautiful thing ever. Arizona is still red. It's still conservative. I should say it's common sense. It's just America. It's a love for America. And this is why I want to and I must continue to fight for election reform. We vote for a month, we count for 2 weeks or however long it takes to get the outcome they want. And we can't have that. Mm-hmm. We need real, honest people running our elections. So I'm going to keep fighting for that. And I'm going to keep and just stay out there. I'll be deciding my next move in the coming months. But I was going to name the book Unafraid.
Yeah.
And then people kept saying, what's next? What's next? I said, I'm going to put Just Getting Started to give these rhinos and establishment and uniparty people a little tinge of fear, because we are just getting started. The mama bears and papa bears, when they started going after our kids and you saw them get involved in politics, they have awoken a sleeping giant. And when moms and dads get involved, when their kids' future and their kids are at risk, you will see the mothers and fathers help save this country. I know that you've probably seen video over the course of your life where you see like a couple dads lifting a car off of a child that happened to get, you know, run over.
Yeah.
And you go, how on God's green planet did these men have the strength to lift that car? They're like Hulks. And it's because they have that something that God puts in us when we become parents to protect our little ones.
Oh, I know.
And it is a superhuman strength, and they have unleashed that. And we're not putting that back in the bottle. We're going to come out and fight for our country.
It's the same with men, unless they've had a child. And I was at the birth of my second child. But until you've seen your child born, you're not a full man. Men are not really whole until they see that child born. And then they come to respect more about the woman who gave the child to the world. Unless you see it, you can't believe it. You can't read about it. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I had a dream last night. I'm one of these guys who has lots of dreams, and I wake up with dreams and remember them. I saw the firmament. I saw light. I saw flame. And I saw out of the light a single entity, and it divided into male and female. I saw literally the creation, God's creation of man and woman. And I thought I have my work cut out for me today. But that's a separate story. That's amazing. Want to go to your book. Look, is unafraid.
Interesting. Yeah. You talk about a dream. The last chapter opens with a dream I had a couple of weeks after the election. And I wish I dreamed more. I love to have dreams, but I don't. But this one was so vivid that it's called A Dream Becomes a Nightmare. It is chapter 15, and it is fascinating. You got to do some dream analysis on it. Oh, I think you need to be an expert to do a dream analysis on this.
I get it. No. Some of them are so apparent you don't need an expert. But I've done dream analysis with my children when they were young every morning. So tell me your dream. I'll analyze it for you.
Well, I'm not going to because you have to read this chapter.
Okay.
It turned out that the people I was dreaming about were the people who ran the election. But this dream is so full of symbolism and I'm not going to go into all of it other than I awaken. I come to in the back of a pickup truck, and I've got my hands have been tied up with duct tape. Mm-hmm. I've obviously been kidnapped.
Oh,
and
God.
I won't go into much more than that. And I decided to put it in because it's so powerful, and I think there's some meaning in it.
Carrie,
this is not your typical politics.
No. Okay? I worry for people like you because of the cartels. You're on the border. I mean, I won't even go into that right now. I don't want to provoke a sleeping nightmare here. But can we survive the Biden crime family? It's so apparent to even the most casual observer that we literally have a crime family running the country. Do you think that their time is up?
Oh, I think it was up before it even started. That's why I talked about the 2020 election. But it is apparent. It's not minor. It's major. It makes the Biden crime family and Joe Biden make Benedict Arnold look like a novice.
But he's like a mafioso. It's like a mafia movie. It's like a mafia movie.
There's tons of evidence. The question is, as our government is so far gone and under the control of these corrupt forces, that we, the people, have to claw it back some way.
I understand.
And I don't know. Is there? I will say this. I believe that America, its foundation, is still strong. I'm the most patriotic person. I believe that our foundation is still rock solid because our founders set that up for us with God's help. The Constitution, the foundation. That's still solid. The government, the federal bloated, disgusting bureaucracy is rotten to the core, infected. It's a cancer, and that can't be fixed. It is disgusting. And we need to start, you know, in my book, I talk about how I used a sledgehammer symbolism, and I use that in my ads sometimes. We need to take a sledgehammer to all of it. It's rotten. And never let this happen again. And I believe that if we all get involved, there's power in numbers. When we remember that at that foundation our forefathers set up, the power lies with the people. And we've been led to believe because we haven't been educated properly, or we've been brainwashed, or we just have seen this bureaucracy take over, that the government controls us. It's the other way around.
And but they control the electric. Carrie, look, I don't want to touch on a sore point and go over it again. And I know it's something people don't even want to talk about. But it's an issue for you. It's an issue for Trump. But it's almost a dead issue because the people don't want to hear it anymore. But Stalin said it doesn't matter who votes. What matters is who counts the votes. And that's what we're talking about now in the dictatorship that that's emerged. The media, the government media complex. You look at people like Anderson Cooper. They work for the Democrat machine. They espouse the party line. He's not alone. He's a symbol of it. It's like living in a living example of Solzhenitsyn's Soviet Russia right now in terms of the government media complex. And that's why, although the evidence is mounting and mounting and mounting against the Biden crime family, when you have a media that's completely owned by the Democrat machine, what do we do? What do we, the people, do? I guess the truth will set us free. We got to keep talking about it, don't we?
We have to use the most powerful weapon we have, which is our voice. And for a long time now, I mean, even when it came to Trump, Americans loved Trump. And then they realized, oh, my gosh, if I even speak out, if I wear my red hat, I'm going to be ostracized and canceled. And nobody wants to be ostracized. That's painful. And let me tell you, I survive it every day being canceled. And I have a whole chapter about the first time I was canceled. I thought I was going to die. I survived, you know, spoiler alert, I survived. And spoiler alert, you will also survive. But we will not survive if we don't start speaking out. That means speaking out in support of Trump, letting people know. I think he's the only guy, Michael, who's going to get us through this. I really do. These other guys are imposters. And if you do not like Trump, and I'm telling you this from 30 years in the media, if you don't like Trump out there, I'm not judging you. I'm telling you that you have been the victim of the biggest scam on the American people. It was brainwashing in a massive scale to brainwash you into hating the guy, the hero who's actually out there to try to help us. And the media working in conjunction with our disgusting, corrupt federal government, with the Uniparty working in unison, saying, oh my gosh, we have an outsider who's going to come in and tip over the tables. He's a bull in the china shop. And it is going to be the end of this corrupt system if we let him succeed.
But
and
Carrie,
so they colluded to try to bring him down.
Harry, you're a Bible person, right? You're a believer?
Yes, of course. Okay.
Well, we know what happened to Jesus when he overthrew the money changers in the back of the temple. It didn't really work out for him very well.
Well, but I'm really getting at is we needed a disruptor.
Now you're sounding like Nancy Pelosi. I'm joking now.
The tables. We need a bull in the china shop, just as we needed Reagan, that, you know, Midwest charm. Like I said, the optimism at that time, we needed a bull in a china shop, a brash New Yorker to come in and wake us out of our slumber and let us know what was going on. And we need him back, because right now Joe Biden has us on the brink of complete disaster. And we have three choices going into November of 24. If we make it, we've got a fast sprint over the cliff into communism / globalism.
Oh, amen.
With the other guys running against Trump, we have a run, maybe not quite as fast, but it's still heading that way towards the same end. Or we have someone who's going to stop it in its track with Trump. Because these other guys, Michael, have the same people behind them that we've had in politics. The Bush family, the Ryan, you know, Paul Ryan, the Karl Roves of the world, the people who are for endless wars, sending our treasure overseas, starting things up. I don't think America wants to go back to that.
The Savage Nation. It's savage, uncut, unfiltered, and raw.
Well, I wish we could talk about the war, because I'm a peacenik. I'm a conservative, peace-loving man. I'm also a conservationist, not an environmentalist. I'm the opposite of what people think conservatives are. I'm against this war. Trump's against this war. You're against this war. We see 250,000 Ukrainian men killed. We see a couple of hundred, well, maybe 150,000 Russian men dead. It's the suicide of two nations, which the Biden administration, in conjunction with many Republicans, are egging on more death because of the money involved, and also the great distraction from the horrors going on in this country.
Right, absolutely. And Trump's a peacemaker and a truth teller.
100%.
The peacemakers and the truth tellers aren't always appreciated in this world, but eventually he will be. And I'm with you. There are wars that are worth fighting. This one is not one. And I spent 525 days on the campaign trail. I talked to more citizens and individuals than probably any other politician in the country. Not one said, we need to send more money to Ukraine. Conversely, many of them said, why are we not protecting our own border, our own nation?
Right.
So well, I, were, I'm just
I hear you. And the question, though, Carrie, before you go, look, you're a champion for everything I believe in, the America First movement. I'm so honored to have you on this podcast, Unafraid, Just Getting Started. It's a book everybody should read, not just because it's a book, but it's an outline of a journey from an individual from one world to another, and your belief in the nation and your hope for the nation. That's how I see it. You're a mother of two, you're a wife, they're calling you every name under the sun, and yet you haven't given up. You're unafraid. That's why the story is called Unafraid, Just Getting Started. And we won't go into that. I'd be afraid if I were you, because, you know, it's one thing to be a talk show host or a podcaster. It's another thing to actually have power and be able to change things. I'm a big TV watcher at night. I know I'm not ashamed to admit it. I love art and I have time on my hands. So I've always watched movies. And one of them is a cartel movie, a cartel series, Queen of the South, that I've watched. And it's about a woman who rises from being a money changer in Juarez to becoming the leader of one of the cartels. But, wow. Okay. But the guy who's shown, the cartel leader, the biggest cartel leader, is a businessman to the public in Mexico. It shows him running for office to be the governor of one of Sinaloa. And the speeches he gives could be written for a Democrat. I'm here for you. I'm here for the people. When I'm elected, we'll get rid of the cartels. We'll erase this cancer from our society. And he runs the biggest cartel. And I'm saying, oh, my God, I've gotten chills. Who wrote this thing? You know, Carrie, I don't know.
Well, that's scary because we have such cartel pull and influence in Arizona. And when they rigged this election, sabotaged Election Day by rolling out, you know, 60% of the locations voting Republican areas, they put the broken equipment in. They intentionally printed the wrong ballot. 250,000 ballots were spit out, unreadable. They wanted to install people like that. You know, Adrian Fontes, who is a fraud and nobody believes he won this election, he's sitting in our Secretary of State's office, one heartbeat away from the governor's office. And he is, this is a fact, a cartel lawyer. He's a cartel lawyer sitting in Secretary of State's office. If Katie Hobbs is booted out, he would take that position. This is why elections matter. Arizona border states almost are more important because what happens there affects the rest of the country.
It's the cancer. It's the first it's a cancer. Line and of defense against the cancer.
And they were trying to bring me down. I mean, we had our tires slashed during the campaign trail. We got on the road one day going 75 and our tire goes flat. Thank God we were able to find a little tire shop. And the man said, you have 3-4 inch screws drilled into your tire. He goes, you didn't run over these. Nobody has tire these kind of screws in their tire. They had to be drilled into your tire.
Oh God!
So these people are sick. They will try to take people out who are fighting. I believe that God is in control of that, and I do have protection, and I also am not afraid of them. I'm not afraid of them, and we're going to keep fighting. And I'm just, you know, honored to be on your show today. And I hope the people who hear this and want a good read. I haven't had a really good read for a long time. I must admit, this is a good read. As I said,
even though you wrote it,
it came from the heart. I wasn't trying to just at the time, I wasn't even considering running for anything again. I was so furious about what happened. Now I am looking at possibly running, but this is a book that is a page turner. I wasn't trying to write a consultant written, policy book. It is fascinating from page one until the very end. And starting with President Trump's foreword and ending with that dream I was telling you about. I promise you, everyone out there listening, this is a great read. You will not be able to put it down.
Carrie, before you go, many years ago when I was on the radio, I said it will be the women who will save this country. If anything, anyone can save this country, it's the women who will save this country. And I was talking about a long story about my career in the medical world, which is when children were dying in hospitals, children with cancer were dying. This is 40, 50 years ago. A very wise mother said to the doctor, my child's not dying of cancer. He's dying of starvation. She's dying of starvation. The doctor laughed at her. It turned out she knew that the hospital diet was killing the children, not the cancer. That began the change of diets in hospitals from these horrible bland diets to a killing kids. They were dying of starvation. So what I'm getting at is it was the mother, the observation of the mother for her child, the mother bear. And I use that story to exemplify what we're talking about. You are the type of personality. You, I hate to put you in a generic sense, who is saving America. You have the guts and the desire to save this country for the children. And that's why I think people should read Unafraid, Just Getting Started, and share it with other people, because unless we have an entire movement of mothers and fathers, we're not going to save this nation, Carrie. I want to thank you again. You've been a hero of mine for a very long time.
Wow. I'm blown away, Michael. I've got the chills right now, okay? You can't see them, but they're here.
That's nice to hear. I can still give someone the chills.
I've been an admirer of yours as well. So to hear you say that, I appreciate you for saying that and for taking the time to interview me. Let's do it again. I'm heading off to Bedminster right now. I'm in New York City. We kind of launched the book here with a lot of media, and we're doing a launch party tonight.
Where? I'm
at Bedminster, President Trump's.
Oh, I know. Oh, you're doing the party at the golf club?
Yes, we are. We are.
And I'm not invited?
Come on out.
I'm in San Francisco. I can't go. But
you can't get there fast, especially with the air. It probably
Tell but President Trump Michael Savage this. Says hello.
I will tell him that. And I'm not going to quit this fight. This is a hill worth dying on. And the moms and dads are activated. They've awoken a sleeping giant. We're not going back to sleep because we've got something worth fighting for. Our children in our country. And thank you so much. Find the book. You can find it on Amazon, anywhere books are sold. We're already number one on Barnes and Noble. I'm really proud of this book. I promise you, you will love it.
Carrie, thank you so much for the time. Carrie, thank you again.
Let's do it again. And we'll have more time next time.
Okay. Be safe.
You are awesome. Thank
you. Say hello to Donald.
I will. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Same. God with you.
Well, thank you very much for listening to today's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it and learned something from it. We have about 400 other episodes available for you to listen to absolutely free. You can go back into our vast library of podcasts and listen to any one of them at any time. And remember this, if you want to listen to my podcast ad-free, sign up for the Savage Premium Membership and get access to ad-free podcasts as well as some premium content from our Savage Archives. How do you sign up for those ad-free podcasts? Please visit michaelsavage.com for a link. Again, thank you for your listenership. This is Michael Savage.